speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
In John 8:31-32, Jesus said to those Jews that believed upon him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So really it is a wonderful thing to have the truth, yet there are so many who are overlooking the truth on a daily basis. They do not live in harmony with the truth. They do not guide and guard and direct their lives in harmony with truth. My friends, we know that truth exists today. I believe all would agree on that, and that it is important that one learn, believe, and obey the truth in order to please God. And that truth being available and accessible, it should be that which each of us desire to put our hearts into. Now let me ask you another vital question. What is the difference between the typical Christian and the typical non-Christian? You know, often the difference is not that the Christian has a superior intellect or greater opportunities even. No, my friends, many times the great difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is simply their attitude toward the message of truth. This difference may be revealed in every aspect of our lives. Let me ask you the question that serves as a thought for our discussion. What is your attitude toward the truth? Now, I want you to be honest with yourself and with God. What do you really think about the truth? How do you consider it? How do you concern yourself with obeying the truth? You know, my friends, one's ability to learn, believe, and obey the truth is dependent upon his attitude toward it. If you do not believe it is the Word of God, you're certainly not going to study it. You're not going to obey it. You're not going to do those things that would cause your life to be governed by it. Are you willing to accept the truth, though? Are you really, really interested in discovering the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Are you willing to let God's Word be true and every man be a liar, as Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 4? May I ask you honestly and sincerely, my friends, what do you think about the Apostle Paul's question in Galatians 4:16? When he said, "So then am I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" In other words, what is your attitude toward both the message and the messenger of truth? Do you sometimes fail to weigh carefully what is said in the Word of God because of who is speaking? The Apostle Paul had an infirmity in the flesh, you know, Galatians 4, verse 13 and 14, a condition which was a temptation to the Galatians, evidently, but they did not despise him because of it. Rather, they received Paul and his message because it was the truth of God. You know, today many people will tune out a speaker or a teacher unless he fits a certain preconceived concept of what man must look like, act like, talk like, in order to be speaking truth. Beloved, do you have a closed mind toward the truth? I don't mean do you have a closed mind toward men that don't look and act as they should, but I mean truth. Are you unwilling to admit that you can learn something from someone else? What are the proper and necessary attitudes toward the truth of the Word of God? Well, first of all, the first essential attitude involved in pleasing God is for one to sincerely desire truth. You know, when David of the Old Testament was a contrite sinner, praying to God for pardon after sinning with Bathsheba, then he said to Jehovah, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me to know wisdom." Psalms 51 and verse 5. Well, if God desires truth and is the author of the truth, which is obviously the correct way of thinking, then no man can please God without having that strong desire for truth in his heart, can he? Jesus stated the same principle in the Beatitudes in which he began the great Sermon on the Mount. This introduction to the sermon, the Lord declared, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled." Matthew 5 and verse 6. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you desire the truth? Those are two of the strongest desires we have, isn't it? And so it is important that we hunger and thirst after righteousness, the righteous plan of God in the gospel. Yes, we must desire the truth to the extent that we actually hunger and thirst after it. But there are some preconceived ideas and beliefs that hinder people, aren't there? Sometimes we look at truth through our colored glasses. You know, one who cultivates such an intense appetite for truth will find himself opening his eyes and his ears and his heart to the Word of God. But in order to be completely receptive of God's Word, the truth, then one must be free of prejudice and preconceived notions and theories. That's not easy, is it, in our world? But on one occasion, when he was asked concerning his use of many parables, Jesus replied, "Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. For," he said, "this people's hearts are waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest happily they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should turn again, and I should heal them." Well, does this suggest that men cannot understand the truth, or that they will not see the truth? I believe, of course, the latter. Men will not see, because the Lord continues to say in verse 16 and 17, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. For I say unto you, many righteous men and prophets desired to see the things which ye see, and saw them not, and to hear the things which ye hear, and heard them not." You know, in our classroom, sometimes a student doesn't hear the teacher. Doesn't mean the teacher didn't speak. Just simply means they weren't listening, and they weren't interested. And so preconceived ideas and human beliefs oftentimes hinder people from seeing and hearing the truth today. But my friends, do you have eyes and ears open to the truth? Many times I've heard people say, "I'm satisfied, and I have no desire to consider anything that might change my belief or my religion." What a tragedy this could be. What is needed so badly is an honest and sincere heart. And people who desire the truth and who will be honest and sincere enough to obey the truth will find the truth, my friends, without a doubt. Remember, Jesus concluded in the parable of the sower in Luke 8, verse 11 through 15, where he said, "The seed is the word of God." He said, "And that is in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience." God says in Proverbs 23 and verse 26, "Give me thine heart." And again, an honest and good heart that is, isn't it? So my friends, the Lord wants you to give him your heart. He wants you to know and see and understand the truth of the gospel as it is, not as you may think it is. We need to pray for understanding of the truth, don't we? May I tell you that one who sincerely desires the truth will humble himself before God and pray for insight into the truths that God will save. In the Old Testament Psalms, it is found the fervent petition, "Show me thy ways, O Jehovah. Teach me thy paths. Guide me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation." Psalms 25, verses 4 and 5. And in the New Testament is found the direct positive command from the Holy Spirit, "But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him." James 1 and verse 5. Now, my friends, do you pray to God for wisdom in rightly dividing the Word of God? Christians, of course, have that privilege. We know John 9:31 that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So we need to know the truth of the gospel so that our prayers will be answered. And we can have more understanding of the truth when we know the primary principles of the gospel, of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, which are so clearly taught by our Lord and all of the apostles. And then we obey those things to the saving of our soul. We can pray for wisdom. We can pray for continued strength. We can add knowledge to our lives. We can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And shouldn't it be so? My friends, do you sincerely pray that you will find God's truth, even if it is completely contrary to what you've always believed? You know, such a prayer takes tremendous faith. But let us observe in our next thoughts, the inspired writer is saying this, "But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting." And indeed, if we have that desire to know the truth, praying for the understanding and not doubting, but believing those things which we see and which we read, then we understand Romans 10:17 proves true. He says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We must believe the truth, my friends. one who so desires truth that he prays sincerely to God for wisdom and understanding of the truth, he'll find it easy to accept and believe the truth. In John 8, verse 45-46, when Jesus was rebuking some of the Jews, the Lord said, "But because I say the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convicteth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" And you know the Jews could not catch Jesus in any lies or illogical statements, though they tried many times. Yet they would not believe the obvious truth about him. In another passage, the Lord warned them in John 8:24, "For except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." My friends, do you believe the truth about Jesus? Do you want to die in your sins? You don't have to. You can die in the Lord. Revelation 14:13. But you have to live in the Lord to die in the Lord. And your attitude toward the truth will make the difference in where you spend eternity.